After years of planning and a little over 12 months of building and refurbishment work, the Africa Center, which celebrates contemporary African culture and heritage, has finally opened its doors to patrons and supporters on the 9th of June in Southwark, London. Ever since its launch in 1964, the Africa Center has been a home away from home for Africans in the diaspora, a safe place for African artists, intellectuals, and activists to discuss and drive the African narrative. For more about this institution, I spoke to Oba Nzube, the board chair of the Africa Center. Oba, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be with you. I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes, I can.
Great.
You were kind of busy the last couple of days opening the Africa Center after refurbishment. Tell us about the history of this institution. Why is it so significant?
Yes. This is an institution that is about 60 years old, almost 60 years old. It's an iconic institution for a number of different reasons, largely because of the people who have made it such a unique center for gathering. Now, it was incorporated as a charity in 1964, although the idea of the Africa Center began before that, a few years before that. And you will remember that that was a time of ferment for us as Africans. It was a time of a lot of tribulation on the continent around the freedom that we were yearning for, because a lot of the continent was under colonialism. So that was a time of very heated debate, I would say dissident, I would say a revolution in some places. And so the Africa Center became a center point for that kind of discussion, for that agitation in London. Now, the remarkable thing about that is, of course, London many miles away from our continent, but a lot of people, students, African students were in the UK at that time. A lot of people that had been exiled from the continent were in the UK at that time. We had the ANC, they were essentially part of the anti-apartheid legacy. They were in strong in London at that time. So you had essentially a group of people from all different kind of backgrounds, intellectuals, writers, you had musicians, you had poets, you had artists. And they needed a gathering place. They needed a meeting place. The Africa Center became that place. And just think back to the 60s, where you had this idea of no blacks, no dogs, no Irishmen. So it was quite a hostile environment. And this became a home away from home. That's why it's so important. When we think about the kinds of people that have been through the Africa Center, you think of the fact that Nelson Mandela's freedom speech was read from the Africa Center. It was smuggled out from Robben Island. Robben Island was read in the Africa Center. Archbishop Desmond Tutu has passed through there. Oliver Tambo has passed through there. Sally Mugabe, Chimamanda Adichie. All of these amazing artists. You had Angelique Kodjo. Her first concert was at the Africa Center. You have Sonia Boyce, who's just won the Golden Lion for the UK, the first black person to represent the UK in Venice Biennale. A unique thing. She won that. Her first exhibition was at the Africa Center in 1983. Lubina Hamid has a major exhibition at the Tate in London. Her first exhibition was at the Africa Center. So we're talking about a very unique institution that's been around a long time. And the fact that it dated back to the 60s, where there were not that many black institutions. In fact, the Africa Center was one of very few. There are very many more now. We're in 2022. So the Africa Center was critical. It had a restaurant downstairs in the basement called Calabash. There were not many African restaurants in the UK at that time. It had a bookshop. It was doing classes for women. It was doing African literature. It was doing languages for children. African languages being taught in the Africa Center. Summer schools being held in the Africa Center. Dance, music, amazing center. So that is why, Pilo, it is so important that the center, having been located in Covent Garden all that time, it sold the building. It still retains the freehold, but it sold the building about 6-7 years ago to a South African developer, and it moved into the heart of cultural London, which is by the Bankside, by South Bank, where you have it surrounded by the Tate Modern on one side. It has the Shakespeare Globe on another side. It has the Shard, Houses of Parliament. It has the Royal Shakespeare Company. It's an incredible place for us to be in the heart of cultural London. So we have a lot to celebrate. And that's why we've been so busy the last 3 or 4 days, essentially moving into our new home.
So you are going to continue the tradition of making the place available for artists, activists, musicians, and so on?
We're going to continue that tradition. Now, let's remember, right, we have a new generation to speak to. So when we had our official opening yesterday, a number of old faces came, which was very, very warm. Their memories are incredible, and they have a lot of warmth at the Africa Center. The place was buzzing with people that were in from our old building, but it's also had a large number of young people. And so let's look at where we are in 2022. We're looking at a world which is unsettled. We're looking at a time when people are questioning identity. They're questioning their self sense of where they fit in the world. They're wondering what their history is. And these sorts of challenges, we have quite a lot of division all over the world. So the Africa Center will be that gel, that unifying place. It'll be a place where young people can come and discover around their identity. They can come and support each other. We have new challenges, of course. Tech is a big area for us. Entrepreneurism now is a big area. It wasn't so much in the 60s. But let's remember what cultural capital the Africans have. We have fashion. We have music. I mean, music now is more or less African. Popular music is more or less African. If we look at fashion now, there's a lot of mimicking of African fashion. If we look at food, we're starting to see the real renaissance of African food. People begin to appreciate that. So Africans have a lot of cultural capital. The question for us is who owns that cultural capital, right? So we should own that cultural capital. Now, what tends to be happening at the moment is that it's being exploited, and who's actually benefiting from that cultural capital? So we have to own that narrative. We must benefit from the capital that we're producing, and that means being right at the table. And when you're right at the table, it means setting the agenda. And so where you're placed as we are, right, in London, which is obviously a global city, we're in a position to actually set the agenda. So we'll continue with that tradition, but we're going to update it to fit in with where we are now. We will still be a platform for young artists. I mean, to give you an example, the opening exhibition that we're having here is by a Tanzanian artist who's based in Kampala, who has spent time in Kenya, and she's a woman called Sungi Mungea. So let's think about what that means. She ordinarily practices in Kampala, but she's born in Arusha, and she spent time in Kenya, and she's here in London. So we are at aperture. We're a space that could actually open that vista out to the world simply by taking someone from our continent and placing them in the heart of global culture and global messaging. And so Sumi's exhibition, we can send you pictures, you go online and have a look. It's been visited already by many, 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 many people. On yesterday, we had the director of the Tate Modern, Frances Morris. She came. Yesterday, we had Sonia Boyce, we had Yinka Shonibare. All of these major, major artists came to come and see this exhibition. And now, even though we're a few days old, we're seeing people come in to see this. And of course, her gallery is based in Uganda. So these kind of collaborations, where we understand each other's journey and we help each other to progress, is critical to the Africa Center.
Oba, I imagine some people listening to you now might not have been in London, and so they would not know exactly where the Africa Center is and what it looks like. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, I can try to create that image of where we are and what it looks like. So London obviously is a huge city. Through London you have the River Thames, which essentially slices run London between north and south. The Africa Center sits just to the south of the River Thames. It sits more or less in central London, I would say on the edge of central London. It's in a place which is called South Bank. And the South Bank is a very diverse community. South Bank is essentially what I would describe as a place that has a lot of affluence, but at the same time, it has quite a lot of poverty. So it's a mix of the two. We are in literally in a place which Southwark, and Southwark is a county which has a lot of black people, which is exactly where we need to be. So if you can imagine where the Africa Center now has positioned itself, it's positioned itself in the heart of Southwark, which has one of the largest black African communities in the UK. It's positioned itself very close to the center of political debate, which is the House of Westminster, is about a mile and a half down the road. One of the largest institutions in the world for arts and culture is the Tate. That is literally 10 minutes down the road. If you go to your right, the Shard, which is an incredible building, is 5 minutes down the road. So this is where we are, you can imagine. The kind of building we have now was a pretty nondescript office building, which we have converted into the most welcoming cultural space in London. No question. And if you imagine the interiors of this building, so the building literally was, as I said, just like an office building. It's now been painted black. And the black essentially just gives you a frame to come into, because as soon as you come into the building, it's full of color. And what we did was we ensured that we sourced furniture, we sourced crafts, we sourced artwork, all from Africa. And the way we went about that is that we had an open design day. This took place online last year during COVID. We sent out a call for African artisans, cultural entrepreneurs, for artists, for basically for craftspeople to come online and imagine the Africa Center for us. Tell us what they do, why they do it, send us samples, show us some pictures. And from that, having done that kind of research, and we know what's happening in the continent, there's so much creativity there. We selected a number of people that we felt would be suitable to collaborate with in terms of our furnishing. And one of the people that worked with us on our brand, Amangopozi, who are based in Joburg, if you look at our brand, it's a number of ancient African symbols that have been taken together to create a very exciting brand. If you look at the Africa Center's brand, it's been joined together. We collaborated with them. We also collaborated with a number of artists based on the continent from north, south, west, east. In terms of paintings, in terms of craft work, we engaged with them, and they've given us a lot of work which is going to be permanently part of our space. We sourced lighting from the continent. We sourced textiles from the continent. Our chairs are from the continent. We made a lot of stuff because, of course, when we think about Africa, we think about a lot of handmade things, crafted things, things that have texture and warmth. Those are the sorts of feelings that we wanted to put in the center. So if you look at the center now, imagine a warmth that really holds you. Imagine that kind of sand we see in Africa, that kind of ochre color, those sorts of colors. Almost sometimes you see this fierce orange when the sun is setting, those kinds of colors. And then you see a gentle sort of soft green, those things. So it's a beautiful space. There's an article published yesterday in the Evening Standard, which is one of the popular papers that go out here, one of the first to actually talk about this space. If you just Google Evening Standard Africa Center, you'll immediately see some of the images I'm describing.
At this stage, I'd like to remind our listener that you are Oba Nsugbe, the board chairman of the African Center. Now, Oba, how was the 5.6 million pounds raised to refurbish the center?
Right. Now, the refurbishment didn't cost us 5.6 million pounds. That just would not be something we could afford. We're a charity. So when you look at that 5.6 million, it's taking the capital project all together. So the building cost us just over 4 million to buy. And then we had to obviously refurbish it. The renovation cost us over 1 million to do. So that's where you get to the 5.6 million. That was actually funded by us selling our old building in Covent Garden on a long lease, we continued to hold the freehold. So we got a significant sum of money from selling that building in Covent Garden to developers. And then after that, we've been fundraising. And one of the major grants that we managed to succeed and get was called the Good Growth Fund from the GLA, the Greater London Authority, that essentially has the mayor in London. And they look around for projects. Of course, that was very competitive, but they gave us 1.6 million. And then the rest, we've been on a fundraising drive, raising from individuals. And the Africa Center has its own reserves as well, which we had. And we've been putting that money to make up the figure you're talking about.
Oba, talk to us about the key attraction, Malangatana mural.
Well, this is one of the key attractions, as you've identified. Malangatana, obviously no longer with us, was probably Mozambique's most important artist. And he's now essentially, his worth is being rediscovered. Because at the time, although he was a celebrated artist, I don't think people really, and this is often happens, it doesn't until you die that people really appreciate your work when they're forced to go back and look at your work. Malangatana wasn't just an artist. He was a poet. He was a writer. He was an activist. At that time, of course, Mozambique was under Portuguese, well, certainly under strong Portuguese influence or rule. So Malangatana was one of those people that essentially embodied Portuguese, embodied Mozambique, the Mozambican spirit, the resistance. He was a symbol of resistance. Now, he has now, as I said, now beginning to really get the kind of, I think, recognition he deserves. Only two or three years ago, he had a major exposition in the States, in Chicago, where they looked back at his work. There's a painting Malangatana now in the Tate. So I'm just talking generally now, so people understand the significance of this artist. He did a mural in about 1987 in our old building. He simply painted it on the stairway, on the wall, and in fact the wall was sort of circular, so it wasn't even a straight mural. This mural he painted into the wall. Beautiful mural. He never really named it, but from scribblings that we've seen of his, it's probably called Mama Africa. This mural, having been in that wall, as we were leaving the building, the 2 days before the building was about to be essentially demolished and then rebuilt, the Board of Trustees felt that it somehow, unless we took our ancestral spirit with us to the new building, we would never really be a settled charity. So we instructed a restorer who painstakingly took the mural out of the wall. And I cannot tell you how this was done, because for me, this was some kind of minor miracle. Having painted into the wall, the mural itself, the wall had been painted a few times, really rather carelessly. So it had two or three paints on it. Taking it out of the wall, it was then placed in storage, and it's been in storage for the last 5 years. Just before we opened, about a year ago, we knew we had to take that mural back into our building. So we instructed the same restorer to really get that mural out, to start to strip back some of the paint that had been put on it. And funnily enough, that paint, although at the time we were cursing it, that paint actually maintained almost perfectly the old mural itself. So it protected it. And so having stripped back all that paint, we came back to the original color of the mural. And so now Mama Africa now sits between our ground floor and our first floor very proudly. And it just looks down at everybody. It's a very imposing mural. And as people have seen it now, they literally gasp when they see this mural. It's huge in size. And for us to put that mural into the building took 8 men. All of them struggling up to hold that mural and attach it to the wall. And so when you go online and look at the Africa Center, if you look at the Evening Standard Africa Center, you'll see one of the pictures depicting the mural. If you go to the Africa Center's website, you'll see the mural. We're very proud of that mural because our mission, what we say, is that we're proud of our past. We're passionate about our future. And so you can't say that without actually paying tribute to those who have been before us. and those who had essentially left an imprint on our organization. And so by putting Manangatana there, we put it in the heart of the new building. And yesterday when we opened, we made Manangatana a very important part of our opening. His daughter very kindly came to our opening. It was very emotional for her to see her father's work in that position. Her brothers, who are based in Maputo, they held a ceremony which they videoed, and they sent us the video. We played it. Malankatana's niece is a high priestess. She did a blessing for this. So this was a very spiritual thing. So you asked me that question. I'm really glad you asked me that question, because that is critical to how we nurture, how we pay homage to our past.
Oba, perhaps lastly, what is that last thing you think our listener should know about the Africa Center that I didn't ask?
I think you've given me the opportunity to tell you a lot about our past, and you've also mentioned things that really speak to our future. I think one of the things that they should know is that we Africans, right, we must focus on collaboration and unity. And we must realize that we have to be organized and dedicated. We need to be organized and dedicated. We need to focus on African excellence. We need to actually address some of the narratives that are going around about us. And to address those narratives, you do that by action rather than by talking. And so I think it's important that your listeners know that the Africa Center stands ready to collaborate with people who are interested in African excellence. And we stand ready to showcase what African creativity talks to. We stand ready to have to be at anybody's side as a center for debate and discussion and for challenge, but not just a center, a safe space. So if there are events to be held, if there are talks to be held, the Africa Center is the place to do them. As our investment community come into town, as our leaders come into town, a lot of the political classes come into town, they will come to the Africa Center for meetings, for discussions, for debate, and just to relax, to feel at home. So I think it's very important that your listeners know that the Africa Center is certainly somewhere to engage with.
Oba, it was fantastic talking to you. I wish to thank you for making time to talk to us and for sharing your thoughts on Channel Africa.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Oba Ntsukube is the board chair of the Africa Center, which has been refurbished at the cost of £5.6 million in Southwark, London. And you are listening to Gateway to Africa, your tourism, travel, and business show. Gateway to Africa comes to you on Channel Africa, the African perspective.